overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center for Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
John always manages to do that. That was What Kind of Fool Am I that he played, which was the song that I shared, that I sang at the end of Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. You know, it's so funny. Here I'm up there singing, Why Can't I Fall in Love Like Any Other Man? And in that very, as I'm singing it, my relationship's ending. You know, it ended at the end of college. And it's like, it mirrors truth. And the question is always then relevant, you know. Who am I? How can I live this life in a way that is acceptable to the only one that's really important to is yourself? And when you're young, you know, you think it's different than you do when you get older. There's this lovely little book called Being Aware of Being Awake by Rupert Spira. And he says we suffer largely because we think the external is what we're after. And so we go into this world and we want certain things and we don't want other things. But he says, what if the very thing that you're looking for, if you're looking, he says, we're all looking for happiness and peace. It's very interesting. Glory G and I do a lot of collaborative efforts. And this Wednesday night we did the intention circles, which come out of the Circles of Eight, the Lynn McTaggart heart math material. And it's about setting an intention. But what's so interesting is people will set an intention for something in their experience, but through a little inquiry, really, let's say we want this situation handled with the dog or the this or the that. Well, what would it give you if that were handled? Well, it would give me peace. So then what your intention really is to find the peace amidst the chaos that's out there. And he says the same thing. As long as we keep trying to change the experience or to change the outer in order to have an inner experience, we have an outer-directed spirituality. So it's never about the outer. It's never about more money or more sex or more men or more power or more fame. It's what would that give you in here? So he talks about an inner-directed spirituality at this stage of life. And let me just give you a little taste of what he says. In this investigation, as the mind turns the light of its knowing away from the objects of experience toward its own essence, it is gradually or occasionally suddenly divested of the limitations and stands revealed as the very peace and happiness which it had previously sought in some objective experience. The man of your dreams isn't going to create the love. The love's in here. That new house, that new job isn't going to create fulfillment. The fulfillment is in here all along. So he says, peace and happiness are not as such objective experiences that the mind has from time to time, but they are rather the very nature of life itself. So, you know, Ernest Holmes spoke in Paradox. He says, the thing you're looking for, you're looking with. What does that imply? It's already there. It's already there. And he says the same thing. Happiness is our essential nature. Apparently, it's obscured or eclipsed much of the time by the clamor of our objective experience, but it's never completely extinguished. You notice, I remember there was a lady that came to one of my classes many, many years ago, and she'd been in mental institutions, and she finds herself in my class, and she said, I was so depressed, and I was so down, and I can remember I didn't want to live. And then I heard this tiny, tiny little voice from the depths within me. And it was so, it said, I want to live. And she said, I put all my attention on that tiny little voice that said, I want to live. In a life that was miserable, there was something in me that wanted to live, and I put my attention on that. He said, it is for this reason that all the great religious and spiritual traditions indicate in one way or another that the ultimate goal of life, which is lasting peace and happiness, resides within us and is equally available to all people at all times under all circumstances. So it's not the circumstance that creates the suffering. Oftentimes, as I shared a couple Sundays ago, what's in the way is the way. The very obstacle is the opening. It's the doorway for our release. If we don't make the obstacle wrong, if we don't make the problem wrong, if we can look at it with soft eyes and say, this is here for me, then there's the potential. You know, I was sharing last week that my little sister, who we hadn't talked for a long time, she's in an inner city school. She works from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and it is really stressful for her, and it has created her blood sugar spiking to the degree that she had to let go of the job because truly it was killing her. And she's found that the vegan diet is the only thing that seems to help her, but she has to create a life that isn't so stressed out because she took the storm on the outside and put it on the inside again and again and again. Every child that has a problem, she sees it as her role to fix that child, to save that child, and she's what they call the intervention special ed person. So when there's a crisis, it goes to her. Now that was for her for a very long period of time, but now I think it's time for her to change and shift. And she says the only thing where her blood sugar goes way down is when she walks the dogs. So she has two daughters, they both have a dog, and she has two dogs, Paco and Sam. So there's Paco and Sam and Boaz and the other one, I don't know his name. And she said, and when I walk these four dogs, people say, you look like a professional dog walker. And she said, it's because I'm so happy when I'm with the dogs. My blood sugar goes way down. Do you suppose there's something about this dog walking thing? I said, I don't know. What do you think? Anyway, this is one of my favorite little books. It's called Teaching with Fire. And it's a compilation of stories of teachers where it's their avocation, where it's their calling to serve, and how so many of them are inspired by poetry, the John O'Donohue that ignites the soul, the something within them, that spark that each of us gets to explore and discover, what Meister Eckhart called that uncreated something within us that wants to be revealed. And this one teacher, principal, had been 50 years as a school teacher and a principal, and he's just turning 70, so I resemble this a little bit. And he said, as a teacher and a school principal who's joyfully given of my time and talent to others for almost 50 years, it's, by the way, 30 years ago I came here, it was March of 1989, so I'm 30, he's 50. He says, I now find myself noticing myself. This is kind of what happens in that reflective winter time. And he said, and it's kind of a surprise, and it's also sort of a shock. And he shares this little poem by David Walcott that I'll read to you in just a second. He said, I read the words of this poem gratefully now, and I find the invitation given here is to be reassuring and comforting with myself. It's about falling in love with yourself at this stage of your life. You know, I asked Teresa to sing that Karen Drucker song at the beginning because Karen Drucker's ministry all goes back to this one song, I Will Be Gentle With Myself. I will be gentle with myself like a newborn baby child. So as we go through this growth, this transformation, this shift, things can feel really uncomfortable. We can lose a child and our hearts are broken wide open. Could we be gentle with ourselves as we do this healing work? You know, so he says, as I greet myself anew, I find that I really like myself at 70. I'm pleased with my peaceful demeanor. I like the quiet steadiness that I now have. Huh. I love my almost feverish desire to create something new and build with acrylics. I'm amazed by my newfound obligation to speak the truth, feasting on my life now makes my heart sing. Wow. Now, wouldn't it be amazing to evolve into the place where you actually like who you are, where you're comfortable in your own skin? You're not trying to be somebody to please other people, but you've actually come to a place of peace and acceptance with who you are. And you can speak your word and you don't have to censor yourself. You know? So here's this little poem called Love After Love. And you know the love you're looking for is right in here. He says, the time will come when with elation you will greet yourself, arriving at your own door in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome. Louise Hay's big spiritual practice is to look in the mirror and say, I love and accept you just the way you are. You don't have to change a hair for me. Not If You Care For Me. No, that's another song. He says, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you. We're looking for love in here. And you know, they wrote a song about me looking for love in all the wrong places. I kept looking for it out there, you know, in Mr. Right or Mr. Right Away, was it? Yeah, it didn't matter. When it all along, it was right here, right here. So, give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit and feast on your own life. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit and feast on your own life. Wow. So what does that feel like to feast on your own life without an egoic kind of a thing? To know that you've been around a long time, just like Sweet Charity, you reach a place where you find that you have to meet yourself because you were the one common denominator in all that suffering that life was all about. And it wasn't the outer experience, because now you're looking in and you're more interested in the cause of the suffering than the suffering itself. Because the stuff that happens out here in experience is just life. The suffering is when there's a cause within me that seems to sustain it and keep the suffering going. You know, perhaps it's by resisting what is. So instead of resisting it, we invite it in. Wonder of wonders. And then we walk in wonder. We walk in mystery. We walk in grace. Lastly, we're going to be doing Ajahshanti in April. And he was the teacher of John Burney. And he talks about the three levels of awakening. He says there's awakening at the level of the mind, which is pretty shallow. You know, the mind awakens. You know that your emptiness in form, the emptiness dances. You're not your thoughts. That's awakening at the level of the mind. He says there's awakening at the level of the heart, where you realize you're connected with everything, that you're not separate. And I think you're all pretty much heart people if you're here at the center. And the third awakening, he said, is the toughest, is the awakening at the level of the gut, where you have to let go of this idea of me. There is no me. The me is the parentheses. And so when you get all three, he says you experience what he calls falling into grace, which is the unmerited givingness of life itself to each one of us. And he closes the book, the very end of the book, with "This is our destiny." I thought you'd get a taste of him. Offer the world a truly open mind, an open heart, and an open consciousness when all these are opened, the heart, the mind, and the sense of self. So grace is all around us, he says, if we only have eyes to see it. And the good moments are grace, and the difficult moments are grace. The confusing moments are also grace. When we begin to open to realize that there is grace in every situation and in every person we meet, no matter how easy or difficult we perceive them to be, then our hearts will flower. Who would use language like hearts will flower? Our hearts will flower, and we'll be able to express the peace and the love that each of us has within us. We let go and we fall into this grace that is everywhere. He said, it's something we fall into, like when we fall into the arms of another, or we put our head on a pillow when we go to sleep. And whatever might be there in our experience occurs within a vast space of peace, of stillness, and of ultimate well-being. You know, when I did finally have the heart attack and collapsed on the bed, I shared that the sweetest thing was I fell on top of baby's back. And I can remember there was no fear. There was this realization that I've fallen into the arms of love. You know, she truly was. He says, if we can let go for just a moment, if we can relax, if we can fall into the center of now, we can encounter directly the freedom that we've all been seeking. It's not going to happen when some circumstance changes. If we just can fall right into this beautiful moment, in the wonder of it all, it's right there, right now, he says. we can encounter directly the freedom that we've always been seeking. It's right here, right now. It doesn't lie out there in the future. It's not going to come when your life changes or when the circumstances of your day-to-day reality become different. Freedom is something that's right in the midst of every moment. And when we begin to surrender our demand that life should change, that life should alter itself to suit our ideas, then everything opens. That did you catch it? He says, when we stop thinking that everything needs to change, it don't need to change, as they say in the South. We begin to awaken from this dream of separateness and struggle, and we realize that the grace that we were always seeking is actually right there in the center of our own existence. In the midst of our turmoil, it's right there. This is the heart of spiritual awakening. To realize that we've always yearned for is the very thing in our deepest source that we have always been. You know, I can remember, Judy can remember, when I had this kind of ache in my heart that I was longing for this, not only to realize it was the presence that was longing for me all along. And so instead of looking out there, to just look within and allow it, he's saying freedom is always available to us. And in those very moments, when we know that we don't know, in those moments when we know that we don't know, when we take a backward step and our heart opens wide, well, then the only place to go is we fall into the grace that's right there. Wow. So if you want some of this guy, we'll be drinking from his heart in April and May. So I invite you to just stop, unhook from thought, and allow the awareness of this beautiful presence that we all are to arise within. A presence that's always there, that's been there since the time we were little kids, probably much more vivid then, and then we forget it, and we get lost in the world, and then something happens and that simple awake awareness begins to flower in our consciousness. It doesn't have to think anymore. It can feel deeply whatever it wants to feel. It can feel a sense of connection to everything and everyone. Because in truth, we are everything and everyone. And so we open to the wonder of life. Not the certainty of life, not the plan of life, not the achievements of life. Those are all fine at one stage. But now we open to the mystery of life. The mystery that holds us all. The grace that holds us all. The stillness that holds us all. The unbelievable happiness of being in the midst of turmoil, that the peace and happiness were right there underneath our narrative, under our story. And in this holy instant, we have arrived in that beautiful presence called home that we all share. When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was there with the things I'm now knowing. Everything is connected. The wind, the sun, the rain, the earth, the moon, the beautiful big moon, all part of the one life that we see now, not with thought patterns arising and concepts, but with a sense of wonder. Oh my God, I am all of that. And it is all here so that I might know myself more intimately, so that this presence might delight by creating through me beauty, wonder, mystery, the one life unfolding itself, unique to each one of us and yet all the same life, with a playful curiosity and buckets loads of fascination, we open to the next inevitable moment and we smile as we witness the mystery unveiling itself endlessly anew, surprising us around every corner. This is the idea that is unfolding at this time of life, and we are blessed. So it is.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.